Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And thanks for listening.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably... You know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. Very excited about having Dr. Jane Marie Mauvais back on the show. Jane Marie has been with us before. She's an economist, an award-winning author, and she is was a senior congressional health economist in the recent past. She's also been chief economist at the Small Business Administration, among other credentials. Jane Marie, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you back. When were you chief economist at the SBA?
A year ago, let's see, 2014 to 2018.
So just most recently, one of our longtime Brain Trust members is Chad Moutray.
Oh, yes, I know Chad well.
Who was maybe a couple before you. He was in the Bush administration. So it's interesting that you're with what you're advocating as an economist, your tenure there in the Obama administration. But what we're going to talk about for at least a little while right now is the fact that the Supreme Court heard a case on Obamacare, on ACA, with regard to the exchanges, and folks, there are state exchanges and there are federal exchanges, and some of you have heard us talk about this on the show before. Some of you may not have, and just for those folks, for the second group, I'm going to ask Jane Marie to give us a little tour of what brought about that case to come to the Supreme Court and what it was all about. Go ahead, Jane Marie.
Okay, so the case is called King versus Burrell, and the issue is there are premium credits in the states for people who purchase coverage on the exchange, but the law says that the premium credits are available only for state-established exchanges. So at issue is what happens to the 30 or more states that have something called federally facilitated exchanges. And the Supreme Court has to decide whether those premium credits are valid in those 30 states.
Can I stop you for a second?
Sure.
And stick this in. The federal exchanges are the ones where the states refused to produce their own exchanges and said to the federal government, you do it, we're not going to do it. Am I correct about that?
Correct. The federally facilitated.
For whatever reason, the state said, we're not going to do it, then there are two or three reasons. But the federal government wanted the states to do it, but many of the states didn't like the way the feds wanted to do it. And again, other reasons. But there's also
a cost to doing it. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Right, that's okay.
So they are subsidizing the cost early on, but after, you know, going forward, they're not going to subsidize the cost, the federal government.
Right.
So states didn't want to take on that added burden either.
Right, exactly. So that's how we wound up with two kinds of exchanges. Now go ahead.
Okay, so the Supreme Court heard the case in March, and we expect the ruling in June. I don't know when in June. The question really is
usually about the fourth week of June, I think.
Right around summer vacation. So the question is, what's going to happen? I wish I knew. I don't have a crystal ball, but obviously there's two different sides.
What's
of it.
What's at stake? Let's talk about before we talk about what they might decide. Let's talk about what's at stake.
Well, what's at stake is if they do overrule the premium credits,
I'm sorry. Stop for a second. What did the plaintiffs who brought the case, what did they charge?
They argue that the premium credits are not valid because the law states that the exchange has to be established by the state.
So the subsidy, the people who got insurance in the states where there were federal subsidies, the people who brought the case said those subsidies aren't valid because the law requires the subsidy to only be where there are state exchanges.
Correct. It could affect up to 8 million people.
Right. And what did the defendants say?
The defendant said the intent of the law was to include both the state and the federally facilitated exchange.
Even though It clearly says states.
State, end quote.
Even though one of the architects, Gruber, Professor Gruber, said, no, we intentionally use the word state. Am I correct?
Gruber did say that, yes.
I heard him say it.
Now, the Obama administration wouldn't say he was their key advisor.
Well, but he was. We all, but they're you know, they're that's misleading. They're lying when they say that, because he was very much involved in that, and so clearly, and so that's where the issue is.
Right.
When we come back after these messages, Jane Marie, I'm going to let you give us a little bit more of a look into the, what the courts, how they heard it, and what they decided. So, folks, we got two exchanges, two kinds of exchanges: state exchanges, federal exchanges. All exchanges, people in all exchanges have received subsidies, but the law says only the people with states exchanges are supposed to get subsidies. That's where the case is, and we're going to talk about what this court's probably going to do. And what will be Plan B if the...
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.